right, fellow travelers, welcome to Traversing the Stars. Please welcome my special guest today, Marty Matulis. Marty, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks Appreciate for being it. Here. Thanks for being here. How are you this evening?
Doing well. Hang on, let me give you a better view. There we go.
That's a nice view. I'm digging it. I love it. Mine's just a cold nothingness right now.
Cold nothingness. What are you, Michigan?
PA, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I hear it's getting very chilly back there.
Yeah. It was like 20 degrees this morning.
You know, I prefer that than like the desert heat.
You know what? I'm with you on that. I actually don't mind it at all. I'm just having to like kind of adjust to having to go out and start the car, ahead of time before I leave for the day.
Engine heaters are a real deal.
Yep. So I got to begin with the facts. You got a couple, quite a few credits with Star Trek Universe to your resume. Yeah. So what's it like getting to play some gnarly aliens?
It's fun. I mean, I'm a 5-year-old, so I don't know how I kind of fell into this niche of kind of doing aliens and things. But as a kid who grew up loving Star Wars, loving Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's the best gig a 5-year-old, 51-year-old can have, really.
I'm with you on that. And we're exactly the same with that. I'm absolutely a 5-year-old myself. So I still get all the same excitement from it.
never changes. I think if you're doing things right in life, that never changes.
I agree. 100%. 100%.
Yep.
So, okay. So you grew up digging Star Wars, Star Trek. Which one do you prefer? Which one's the better one?
I mean, if it's going to come to blows, I've got to go Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like I was squarely in the pocket as a 7-year-old when Star Wars came out. It was probably one of my first earliest theatrical, like going to the theater with your mom and dad experiences. Yeah. And like, you know, the ship comes over, the sound is rumbling. It hit me right in the little kid sweet spot. And
absolutely.
Always kind of really had a soft spot for the Star Wars universe, but I also appreciate kind of the clean aesthetic of the Star Trekian design, and also like the philosophical viewpoint that they established.
They like to establish. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. There's something kind of fun and clean in exploring that world, but I like the real kind of the grittiness of the early Star Warses and now the later current Star Warses as well.
I agree 100%. You know what? I didn't get to see the original run. I wasn't born yet, but I did get to see the special edition with my dad in theaters, and that was an absolute experience. I had a blast with that. So I totally identify with that.
Well, I don't know how techie you are, but I know now there's like a despecialized, updated, cleaned up, but not, CGI-fied re-release high def version of the original trilogy.
And they didn't have Greedo shoot first, did they?
No, God, please help us. You know, there's a few of those revisionist things that, and there's one in Blade Runner. There's a few peppered here and there that just need to kind of go back to the way they were. Original vision is usually the best.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I like how they threw in like in Empire, like there's like some extra footage of the Falcon coming around, and there's like some better shots in New Hope of like the ships taking off for the Death Star run. But like in general, Greedo shooting first just made it weird.
It made it weird. I think, I can understand kind of the politicized version of like, well, he's our heroic guy. Is it really heroic if he did this? Yeah, but he's kind of anti-heroic, and that's kind of what made him so cool.
That was what everybody loved about him.
Wow, he's a badass. Don't mess with Han Solo. So I think we're in agreement there, my friend.
100%. But you have done a lot with Star Trek, so I got to ask, which one is your favorite Star Trek movie? Movies are where I shine, so I'm going to be talking about the movies a little bit.
good. I think it's probably still a lot of people's favorites, but I've got to go Wrath of Khan.
Okay.
I'm still a big fan of that one. I mean... Well, this is tough. I mean, on what level of are we talking?
I'll let you do. You can do your favorite from the TNG run, and you can do your favorite from the Next Generation run.
Okay. Well, let's go original. We'll go Wrath of Khan because of a lot of things that got set up in that film and paid off well, even in that film.
Yeah.
I've got to go Nemesis.
Ooh, okay. That's not one that I usually hear when people are picking their favorites from that run.
There's a lot to poo-poo about Nemesis, and yet because I had the pleasure of hanging out on that film for about 2 months as a
makes sense.
It was a joy to kind of see it from the other side of things. So that certainly informed my love of it now, I think.
Yeah,
but it was fun. Yeah, I did. What was it? Nemesis and what was the other? Insurrection.
Insurrection after that, yeah.
Prior to that. That was my first foray into Star Trek as like a wide-eyed background.
Yeah.
Baku when I had like hair down to here and we were space hippies hanging out. That was a lot of fun. So that kind of got me invested in the Star Trek world in a bigger way.
And kind of sort of like, you know, in the playing a character like that, or like, you know, someone that gets the heavy makeup too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the involvement as Baku in the in Insurrection, then I got brought on for Nemesis to be a fit model for the Remans because I was like 5 minutes away from the costume shop and they already had a relationship with me as like responsible, tall, skinny guy. So I got to go in for weeks ahead of time on that and kind of get to see the development. And then hanging out on set as the Reman in a few different scenes, hanging out with Ron Perlman was our guy. And
nice. Of course, that guy. You know,
seeing what I just blanked on his name. Outstanding actor. He played Shinzon. He's in Venom now, you know, our boy.
Tom Hardy. Yeah.
One of his, I think after Black Hawk Down, that might have been his next kind of American film was playing the Picard clone. Spoiler alert, it's Picard's clone.
I would say it's been out for a couple of years, so if you haven't seen it by now, I don't think you want to.
Yeah, trouble. Exactly. Let it go. Just let it go.
Yeah, let it go. Let it go. So that's become one of your hallmarks, is like the, you know, the very elaborate makeup and like kind of bring in like some sinister vibes too. So like, does the amazement of being transformed on that kind of level ever wane, or are you still wowed by it every time?
I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. In fact, this comes up sometimes where people are like, do you enjoy this? I'm like, I absolutely love it. Except all the individual parts and pieces might not be that fun. Like you're covered in glue and the smells and the paints and like, you're basically sweating for 16 hours straight until all of it comes off. And then the removal process is disgusting. And then you go home and you're exhausted and it's awesome. Love it.
That's awesome. No one thinks of the removal process. I never really can even consider that part.
Well, imagine like you've worked 16 hours straight and then you got to sit down for an hour and a half before you can go home and wait until that, like a little bit of this comes off and then a little bit of that comes off. And then eventually your eye comes loose and then you're covered in goo that then has to be removed. And it's a whole thing. But I think back to your question, watching these artists do their makeups is one of the biggest joys I get, apart from as an actor being able to
step into the role.
So for anywhere from an hour and a half to sometimes 4.5 hours, I get to sit in the best seat in the house watching a mirror while one or two or sometimes three top level artists are doing this amazing work right on your face. And then I get to start, you know, as they get more towards the end of it, I get to start kind of moving it and seeing how things work.
Seeing how it forms and how it,
dovetailing my work into their work, which is like, how am I going to emote through this makeup? What do I need to modify to make it really live?
Right.
That's an aspect of it that I really adore.
Oh, I bet. I imagine like just getting to be there. Cause like I've watched like Face Off. Is the show Face Off the one where they do the contest for it? And I'm in awe of it because like, dude, I can't even draw. So like the idea of like being able to create these creations is just absolutely incredible. So I bet getting to have a front row seat to that is just, I imagine that's incredible.
It's a treat. And I've had the very good fortune of being able to sit in a lot of crazy talented people's chairs over the years.
Yeah.
And it never gets old. I mean,
who's your favorite been with that?
Who's my favorite? Who's my favorite makeup artist? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll totally tell you that. I'm not going to tell you that. I can't tell you that. They're all amazing. I mean, currently with Evil, I'm working with Joel Harlow. He's just ridiculously talented, you know? So as the most recent current, I love his work. I mean, I couldn't really say favorites. I mean, you run into various levels of talent or various levels of like, does this person know what it's like to be in the makeup? Are they, you know, I get that kind of like from this side of the chair, if they're whacking at me with the brush,
right?
I know they haven't sat in the chair and had makeup supplied. They're just like applying them.
You got to have kind of a bedside manner with it.
For sure. And I think some of the best makeup artists have that kind of, Yeah, exactly. Like a philosophical approach to it and understand what's going on for the person that they're applying to.
Yeah.
And they're kind of conscientious of that experience as well. So that adds to it for sure.
Absolutely. I bet it does. Yeah. I would say like my favorite, I think he's more like special effects though, but Tom Savini has always been one of my favorites, but I don't think he's as much like makeup as he is with special effects
and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're all a bunch of crazy talented kids. And I don't know if you're familiar with some of the trade shows like Monsterpalooza or IMATS, but if I would say anyone listening, clue into Monsterpalooza's website and check out that kind of a trade show.
Yeah.
It's basically all of these high level Academy Award winning geeky horror sci-fi kids who come together. Probably the only time everyone all gets to hang out together
because
everybody's all doing their own jobs and their own shops. And it's like a free-for-all, and you can walk up to Academy Award-winning so-and-so and get your nose right in their business and watch them do makeup and ask them questions. And it's, you know, for someone in my part of this business, I absolutely love doing that too.
Well, and getting to be in the same room with that much creative talent has got to be just an incredible vibe.
Yeah, just seeing how real and approachable everybody is. I would say 90% of these people are in it because they love film. They love cinema. They love sci-fi. They love horror. And this has just been their path. And behold, you know, they've achieved enough success that they are now like celebritized in their field. But, you know, it's just fun. Everyone's having a good time. They enjoy their work.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you definitely have a look that lends itself to like playing a villain. And I always find like the bad guys like way more interesting, especially if they have a lot of depth to them. So do you kind of find yourself rooting for the bad guys in movies or where do you rooting, stand with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's,
I don't know if rooting is the right word. That might not be the right word.
It's reasonable. It's definitely within the realm of the enjoyment of the bad guy.
Yeah.
I think they're generally written to be the most interesting character, right? Because they're any bad guy worth his stripes doesn't think he's a bad guy,
right?
Or she or it, they bad guys are just kind of doing their thing, and other people are getting in the way of them doing their thing. So, like, you know, why? What's the problem there?
Yeah,
they're generally more interesting because obviously, if you're a writer, you want to make your bad guy a really compelling obstacle.
Yeah.
So they generally get the best lines, they get the best deaths, they get some of the nicest wardrobe. I love
they're basically like integral to the plot moving forward. So for sure.
And you know, though, not taking away from the joy of being like the hero who gets to overcome the obstacles, bad guys are cool.
They are
and satisfying to play as an actor. They're really meaty and it's a fun thing to
It's funny because, like, you know, I've always like, I always like, I love the villains, but like my wife will make fun of me for this. Like, I've played like games where you can be the good guy or the bad guy or something like that. And like, I'll start out doing the bad guy thing, but like something will happen. I'm like, oh no, that's not good at all. And she's just sitting over there just laughing at me like, yeah, you're a real bad guy. You're a real villain over there.
Right. Well, it's tough. It's tough when you like, I understand what you're saying. I still enjoy playing a good story-based game as well. Sometimes, but there is the compulsion to just like cut loose and do all the horrible things you can. And yet at some point you're like, but what if we're the video game and we're, you know, and someone's watching and like, that's real. And we're maybe I shouldn't quite be so awful.
Or, I mean, it gets kind of some of your evil impulses out on that. And then you get to go be good in real life.
If you have the choice in the game, what I like to do, obviously, because now I'm getting older, I don't have that much time to invest in gaming, I think. I'll crank the difficulty all the way down to easy.
Yep.
I'll play through one way, get a sense of the story, then I'll flip it the other way
and
play the other character.
I'm the same exact way. I love to play for the story. So like if it's got a good story to it, I am in.
Any recent highlights?
Recent
in gaming world?
Let me see. See, it's like I've been so busy lately. I'm in the same boat. I haven't had a chance to play anything lately. I think like I'm excited, you know, actually talking about bad guys, the new Grand Theft Auto, the remaster or whatever is coming out soon.
I've got a buddy who's been in that world for years.
Yeah.
I played through it when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I played the previous ones, like
the top down
four.
Oh, three. Okay. So you're talking about the ones like where you're like, it was the 3D one.
It was, Or was it top three down? Was just three.
Yeah.
And then Vice City. Vice was City. That. Yeah.
Those and are the ones that re-released.
Five. Yeah. Those were great. Those. Yeah. There's tons of fun.
Yeah. Other than that, I've got nothing, man. Like I haven't played anything lately.
I recently downloaded Ghost of Tsushima.
I started that called. And I was having a blast with it, but just no time. What did you think of it?
Well, I'm in the same boat. I downloaded it
because
I saw how beautiful it was. And then I'm thinking to myself, I need to wait till I have enough time to really sink into this like a good novel. And I just haven't had that time yet. It's sitting on my player and
same.
I'm just waiting for maybe a good Christmas break, a nice snowy day to dive into it.
One of the cool things about that one is you can actually play it like so that the visual style looks like the old samurai movies from like the old days. Like, so it's black and white and kind of grainy. And so you get to like really play in an old samurai movie.
That's so brilliant. I'm also now going back to original Akira Kurosawa films in order from his first all the way up to get a better sense of his style as it was developing.
Yeah.
And by the time you get to like Yojimbo, the cinematography is just off the charts. So to be able to play a game in that kind of world seems like I better get cracking.
Yeah, you should. As soon as you get the time, because like I said, I totally am with you on that. So you've played on the Teen Wolf TV show, which I'll be honest, I'm still kind of wrapping my head around because it's like just night and day compared to the movie. So like, what was it like?
The movie, so
you haven't seen the movie. We can
share perspective. No, you know what? When I got that job, I thought about watching it. Mm-hmm. Then I thought, or I can go back and watch the four seasons prior to the season that I'm going to be on.
Right.
And just get a sense of this world that I'm in. Yeah. So I left it with that. I actually haven't gone back. When it originally came out, I was kind of beyond that style of film. I just didn't really like the kind of ha-ha comedy stuff, which I thought it was. Maybe I'm wrong. But
no, I mean, you're pretty spot on with that. I mean, it's basically like Ferris Bueller got powers.
Ferris Bueller lost his razor and played basketball.
Exactly. Yeah, the basketball thing is just still baffles me. So it's like when I first saw like the show coming out, I was like, oh, I don't know about this. Like, how is that gonna work? Because like I never thought of Teen Wolf as like a serious anything. It was just like, this is just goofy. Like, he goes in to get a keg of beer,
slam dunk, like fly through the air
as
the wolf and slam dunk
on like a high school basketball team. So like it, nothing suspicious there. Everyone was just cool with it.
Right. Moving on. Maybe moving on is the right choice. Then I think I know all I need to know about the good old classic film version of it.
Yeah. I mean, the only other good thing is you got like, Marty McFly in his prime. So, I mean, that might be worth checking out. Cause
he was a joy to watch. And,
Michael J. I love Fox. Everything he's done. Love that guy.
The TV show itself, I enjoyed initially, watching season one. I was like, I don't know if all this kind of high school angsty stuff is that appealing as a viewer now in his 40s. But then as I saw that each season got a little darker, a little more serious, like there was more consequence being played,
more depth to it.
I was more and more impressed, and then also quite happy to be doing horrible things to teenagers in season five.
So it's like the angst you got to take your irritation out on that.
Well, the irony is, all these young actors and talented and they're just lovely people, and like, I like kids and puppies, and like I'm not anything like these things I'm playing, so we're all kind of joking
having
around
a good time
and having fun, and then Ready Set Action, and then skewer and slash and hammer. It's awful, but they all took it well. They were all having fun too.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine, like, it's like, I always love that too, especially with darker TV shows. Like, you'll watch it. It's like Game of Thrones. Like, you watch that and it's like everybody's all serious, but they're having a good time on set.
Yeah. I love some of the behind the scenes stuff of those guys cutting up. Oh,
absolutely. Did you ever see, it was like for Red Nose Day. I think it was like a charity thing they did. It was they got like Coldplay, the band, which I'm not really a huge fan of, but they got them to do like, it was like Game of Thrones the musical, and they had a whole bunch of the cast show up, and like they're just like all like singing songs about like
brilliant. I'll look it up. That sounds like a good time.
You need to. It's like 12 minutes long, but it's worth every minute of it. Like what's his name, Peter Dinklage has a song called Still Going Strong.
Nice. Sold.
Yeah.
I'll be
researching that. It's amazing. You'll absolutely love it. So I also understand you got a couple of projects that are under non-disclosure agreement. Not sure how much you can share about that. Is there anything you can share about those?
In anticipation of this talk today, I actually researched my own NDA.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually you peruse them and go, yes, of course, I'm not going to. And then you sign it. You're back.
Sign here and not think about it again. Yeah.
I decided to read the fine print, and it is so utterly, completely buttoned down, bulletproof, no wiggle room whatsoever.
Yeah.
That I cannot say anything about it. However, I think that if we were to just continue talking about things and segue into things, that perhaps there could be some allusions and some, you know, dots could be connected where I wouldn't have actually said anything at all. But you know, I don't know, like a dream project for a kid who grew up in like, you know, the 70s and like had an epic experience in 1977 that kind of formed his viewpoint of the world and who really loves where the state of sci-fi has gone these days, especially on like some of the streaming services. And
Absolutely.
I'm going to I got to drink some coffee now.
Absolutely. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Didn't say a word. Right. So legally, I think got some good ideas there, but legally
nailed it.
Didn't cross nailed any it. Lines. I love it. I'm digging it. I'm a fan.
let's just say, as this 5-year-old we're talking about, who's now 51, maybe the most enjoyable from a purely childlike cinematic sci-fi standpoint, maybe something around the first of the year might reveal itself to have transpired.
Outstanding. See, I can't wait to that's perfect. And you know what? I can't wait to take that journey with you. I can't wait to see what it is that you got cooking.
Yeah, I don't think we'll have to wait too long. It'll reveal itself pretty early on in those things.
Nice. Okay, so we can expect something, at least a little bit more info first ish of the year.
And I don't know. I mean, if you wanted to bring up anything about like the current Star Wars universe that you find interesting, we could just chit chat about that.
All right. Well, yeah. So what?
Then the pressure is off my shoulders.
What did you think of most recent sequel or trilogy?
The most recent trilogy. Yeah. I found a lot to enjoy about all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand a few of the quibbles, like stylistically and whatnot. And yet, part of what I have always liked about an ongoing series is when other people apply their vision to the world. So, though I may not agree with every stylistic choice, I absolutely love the fact that they had a distinct point of view.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to quibble. It's not my movie. Yeah. And it was a fun, each of them were fun rides. And
they were. That's what I was about to say. They're fun rides. Like, just like all of them. I mean, like, you know, there's problems with all of them. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, yeah, you could absolutely, but yeah, each one is a fun ride. You know, you also talked about the streaming services earlier too. I mean, I think that's a really
great work.
Enjoyable way to go through that too. Like, I think
The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian, yes.
I love that show.
Love The Mandalorian. Because I've always loved Boba Fett and the Fett, you know, like the Mandalorian line and all that. So, oh my God, I love it.
I'm glad we got there. You know, that's one of my favorite shows right now.
Absolutely.
As a Star Wars kid,
yeah,
it's like one of the best things ever.
Well, like the first episode, like when IG-88 shows up and like I'm sitting there like, oh my God, IG-88's there. And my wife is like, she's like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, you know, like I had no
I still remember the guns that came with my IG-88 action
figure. So do I. I remember like, exactly what they looked like.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a treat. And I don't know, you know, I feel like I'm pretty confident in laying all of the kudos right onto Favreau's shoulders. I think he kind of spearheaded this almost a fan-based push through this creative process to make this thing happen. He obviously had some great ideas.
Yeah.
Super creative guy, super technically savvy guy, having brought together what ILM and this other technology that he was developing and like the volume, you're familiar with the volume, the LED stage, amazing technology. And what a fun, fun world that he's crafted in kind of this old West, as we were talking about, like Yojimbo, Sanjuro style gunslinger in space.
Absolutely.
With known properties that we're all excited to see come back.
Absolutely. And, you know, Favreau has been an absolute powerhouse.
Yep.
I mean, he's been phenomenal. And, you know, you talk about space Westerns. I mean, like, I love space Westerns. Like Firefly, I still wish we would have gotten a second season for that.
That was a joy.
That was. I think it was wrapped up okay in Serenity, but I think more TV content would have been that's what everybody wanted.
Favorite episode? Out of Gas.
Ooh, Out of Gas is good. Favorite episode. I like the one where Mal has a sword fight, where they go to the fancy party. That's a good one.
Fancy party sword fight. Yep.
That's a good one. Oh my God, favorite episode though. I also, you know, which one I didn't hate was the one where they had to go and they had to protect the prostitutes, because like it definitely led like a lot more of what could have been with him and Inara. Like, I think that love story could have really taken flight. And I think that one laid some groundwork for some of the emotional vibes for that one.
There's always that fear of like the will they won't they culmination when they do. And then you're like, well, all the pressure's off of that relationship.
Yeah.
But there's always more depth to mine through historical aspects of the relationship, or, you know, tension and drama and whatnot that keeps them apart or tries to get them together. Yeah. There was a lot more territory that they could have delved into.
Oh, absolutely. I think they also could have done the same with Zoe and Wash. I mean, there was, you know, there was like early talk of like them wanting to have kids and where can this go? And then when Wash died in Serenity, like I was in theaters with that. And I remember like I felt that like I am a leaf on the wind. And then when he got hit, I just like jaw dropped in the theater. Like, no, like not Wash.
Yeah. I mean, poetically beautiful, but guts you.
And big time.
What a smart thing to do as a writer, like recognizing the impact of, of that kind of a move. That's a ballsy move.
It is. And you got to, you know, some people have pulled, like tried to do that before and it didn't work and it just pissed people off. But like this one, I feel like just everybody in the fandom felt that. And like, just a collective, like,
That was a joyous experience. I love that show.
Absolutely.
Well, if you want to keep jumping, and we have got time to hop around a little bit. Are you a Babylon 5 guy?
Never got into Babylon 5.
Okay, so it's where can I start with things? Episode 1, and don't stop till you reach the end of episode season 5.
Okay.
But with the caveat that a little historical context is important. Mm-hmm. The recognition that at the time it started, American sci-fi television was still very much in the episodic Star Trekian wrap it up after however many minutes.
Sure.
This seemed to be the first one that took that kind of Doctor Who continuing storyline.
Yeah.
Very much written and structured by Mr. J. Michael Straczynski as a 5-year story.
Yeah.
Like full arc for all the characters. So notwithstanding budgetary restraints and cast changes and, you know,
every other headache you could probably have.
And we'll even flexing the very first use of CG in television.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which got better over the seasons, but I think it was the first one to make like a spaceship or even an alien seem pretty viable on a TV show.
Yeah.
Which, as I said, got better and better. Super satisfying though, if you look at it like a novel that you're watching on TV and you can dispense with all the other like issues that might pop up.
Yeah.
And just go along for the ride.
Yeah.
Characters that have full realistic arcs to their story, like redemptive, you know, rises and falls or falls and rises. Super satisfying if you have the binging time for that.
Well, I can make the time.
Nice. Or you could wait because I just heard he's trotting it out again. Now with today's technology, Straczynski's coming back to kind of...
maybe a different, better way to do it then.
Maybe not a reimagine, but like a relaunch.
Yeah. Well, I can dig that.
It's happening. So
that might not be the worst way to do that. All right.
You're right.
Well, so I did say, you know, like movies is where I really shine. So as far as that goes, I got to say, you know, while we're talking sci-fi, actually it's my favorite franchise ever is definitely got to be the Aliens series.
Aliens is great.
Yeah.
So much fun.
Yeah. So that actually brings me into one of the questions I had is, you know, because like for me, the answer to this question is the Xenomorph 100% is what is in your opinion the ultimate monster on screen, silver screen, small screen, doesn't matter. Like for me, it's the Xenomorph. Like just such a terrifying monster, you know, and it comes into this world in the most gruesome way. And
yeah, I think from concept through execution, it's hard to beat that entirely, and how that was used in the stories to develop and show its traits, attributes.
Yeah.
Hard to beat that. From a design standpoint, I think Predator's right up there.
Okay, definitely.
And what just a joyful kind of like the, you know, there was that period of time where Nick Tiernan was at the top of the directing game because he's a damn good director.
Yeah.
And then applying that cinematic prowess to kind of these B movie monster properties.
Yeah.
Coming out of Die Hard, going into Monster World with Predator, it just blew my doors off. And I love the design. I love how they showed it, didn't show it, how they kind of hinted at it. Predator's a really good one.
Well, I love Schwarzenegger in anything. I mean, so, you know, him being in that was just that cherry on top of that. Like, it's such a great monster. And then you've got him doing one-liners. Like, you can't beat that.
Oh, a full complement of hyper-testosterone 80s muscles.
Yes.
Just like going at it in the jungle with unlimited firepower. Yeah.
Jesse the Body Ventura bringing up the rear with the minigun and all that.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I love it.
I think that's got to be in my top 10, like Desert Island picks, not maybe like favorite movies, but Desert Island flicks, like, you know, assuming like solar panels and unlimited capability to watch whatever, Predator.
Okay. So you get 10 movies to do. So, okay. So Predator's among them. I got to say Aliens is like definitely one of those for me. What else you got for that? What else is on that list?
Well, I'm going to go Alien and Aliens, but Aliens before Alien.
Definitely. Definitely. Aliens. Cameron
elevated that property to a high place.
100%. He made that. I mean, like Alien was great, but Aliens is just like out of this freaking world, man. Like it is my all time favorite movie. So yeah, that's definitely on there.
If you have a subscription to Masterclass, do James Cameron's, because he uses a lot of like both Terminator and Aliens as kind of his templates for describing how he builds scenes and builds tension. So
makes sense. I mean, they're both perfect for that.
And Terminator would be another one.
Definitely.
Both for the script and the overall experience of it.
Absolutely.
What are we up to? That's like 2, 3, maybe 3, 4.
Yeah. We got 4? Yeah. Now, hold on. 5. Okay, let's do top 5. Now, is that going to be Terminator 1 or Terminator 2 or both? Because that's a constant debate among me and my friends. I personally think, as much as I love T2, I think Terminator 1 is the superior film.
Yes, I would agree that Terminator 1 is the better film overall. Mm-hmm. However, Terminator 2 was such a groundbreaker on so many levels. Waiting so long to see it come back, and it was so satisfying to watch. But yeah, Terminator 1 was so well crafted because he had so much more time to think about like how to get it done.
Yeah.
He was writing under constraint. And this is a big issue that comes up with my cinema nerd buddies is like the benefits of constraint, whether it be financial or any other thing that kind of, okay, we have these parameters. We got to work within them. How are we going to do our best work within that? Not like I've got all the money in the world.
Right.
I'm going to now make a film about everything. Like what's the film about at that point? So,
right. Well, and that's the genius of Cameron. I mean, like, cause he wasn't a household name when he made that. They had to do scenes shooting them and then get out of there before the cops showed up because they didn't have permits. Like the fact that he just said, you know what? I don't care that we don't have the budget. I've got a vision. And then he made one of the greatest sci-fi movies of all time.
Yep. He was describing, I think in the masterclass, describing going out, he needed some other shot to connect something. And he was like, so I took myself and two other people and we just got the shot.
Yeah.
I totally appreciate that.
Absolutely.
But if we're going to go back to the round out the top 5 for me personally, also indicative of my age and where I was when I grew up, number one Desert Island top pick is the original Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. Good one. That's not a bad 100%. One at all to have.
100%.
Yeah. I would have to have the Warriors in there somewhere.
Ah, nice pick.
Yeah. That's just like, for some reason, that movie's just always kind of been in my life. Like my, I don't remember not seeing that movie.
it was always there for you.
Always. Yeah. Like always watching it with my parents. Like as far back as I can remember, to quote Goodfellas.
Nice. I'll have to take another watch. I think I saw it when it first came out, but I haven't really gone back to it since.
So oh, it's a good one. Yeah.
Definitely. Recommendation of you here and now, absolutely. I will watch it again soon.
Awesome. I need to hear your thoughts on it, seeing it as you know, now, as opposed to back then.
Nice. Will do.
Yeah. All right. So final question for you that I got. So what is the biggest dream for your career? Like what, like you've done so much like already, what is it? Like, what's the last mountain that you have to climb, or the next mountain to climb?
Well, I would say that, well, as the kid growing up, obviously being involved in something like Star Trek, which I've done, is great. Being involved with Star Wars, which I sure hope to do, would be great. And as an actor, obviously, I've kind of come through a side door through this kind of creature suit work that I've done.
Yeah.
Like, I never intended to do creature work and be known as like this physical actor. I've just been an actor. Like, I trained as an actor. I study acting. And so when I'm able to help develop a character, that's my happy place. So whether it be makeup or not makeup, any project where, and I would have to maybe go either film or a long running TV show where you've got enough time to sink your teeth into a character.
Yeah.
And then send him somewhere, not like a one and done on an episode of something,
right?
But have time to develop and know that you have the time to take to allow that arc to develop. And
I love it,
regardless of the property, you know, whether it be like Breaking Bad or a sci-fi thing. That's kind of the pinnacle for me to apply the craft as I've developed it to date.
I love it. That is like, that's probably the best answer that I could have gotten. Cause that's just, I identify with that so much. Just like, just like getting the time to really develop into that, whatever that is. I love it.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely love it. Cause I mean, how many characters have we gotten like through those kind of mediums that like just stick with us now because of that?
Yeah. Right. I mean, who'd have thunk? I mentioned Breaking Bad, but like, what a treat for both of those guys, really.
Absolutely.
Like, to be able to spend the time on that. It's a joy.
Yeah.
It's an actor's dream.
You know what I did enjoy, though? There was a theory before the show ended, and I think it was just a joke. I'm sure nobody took it actually seriously, but it was going to be that at the end, Walter White got put into witness protection and became Malcolm's father from Malcolm the Little. Which would have been incredible.
All I want is like a 90-minute connector piece to show that.
That would be the best thing in the world.
Oh my God. And or then remake Malcolm in the Middle with that in mind. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Just like, because his character was so vastly different in Malcolm in the Middle. Like,
that's
the idea
brilliant.
Of him like going on to be like the drug lord that he became is incredible.
Right. Or just a few interstitials showing him, you know, accepting his fate begrudgingly in the bathroom, like when no one's looking. That's brilliant. It's a great idea.
Yeah, I dig it. I hope it happens. But it won't happen.
Nope. It'll live on in our imaginations, though.
Exactly. Exactly. So we can enjoy it there. Marty, this has been fantastic. Is there anything else you want to plug real quick? Any social medias, anything like that?
Social medias. I kind of minimize a bit. I use Instagram these days. So I've got Marty Matulis is the channel for all things kind of actory and sci-fi and horror-y and occasional pictures of my dog.
Love it.
And then I have a more personal account that I'm happy to share as well, which is more just kind of life photography art on Amplified Focus is that one.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. I'm going to check both those out myself. Sounds like a blast.
All right.
Awesome.
And any upcoming work, once it's no longer held under the domain of an NDA, will also be hinted at there.
Outstanding. And then once we do get a little bit more info on that, I'd love to have you back for that.
Happy to. That'd be fun.